One, two, three, four.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And I am a professional writer and your resident lyricist.
And I'm a professional musician and your resident composer.
And together we toss up a new song each episode.
Using a random music genre.
And a random topic.
That's right, using our proprietary, patented, perfumed, industrial strength salad spinner, we randomize over 500 music genres.
And hit the random article button on Wikipedia to get our topics.
Remind us of the amazingness of last week, Shannon. And by last week, I mean last episode.
Yeah, so we didn't do any of that last episode, actually. Because we had special guests for our 250th episode, Alex Lacamoire.
Woo!
The music director of a million shows you've definitely heard of, and Scott's dear friend and mentor. And we wrote for him a Schubert-style German Lieder song.
Yes.
About the quarter.
The quarter.
The quarter. The humble quarter.
And I hope that all of our listeners have been like frantically looking through all of their quarters since then, trying to find one that's worth $1,000.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, we read out like the years, but obviously it's not all of those quarters from years. It's like particular ones that were minted at a particular time. But yeah, we got great feedback from everybody about how excited they were to hear Alex on the episode. So thanks again for sticking with us for 250 episodes, everyone.
Thanks again, Alex. That was fun.
Yes, thank you.
Do you have any valuable coins? Like, do you collect any coins, or have you been like passed down any coinage?
Yeah. I don't know how valuable they are, but when my Jiddu, my dad's dad, when he passed away, he had apparently saved a bunch of envelopes that each one had like a grandkid's name on it, and it was just like a, you know, legal size envelope that just had a bunch of random coins in it. Like, you know, like a couple Susan B. Anthony dollars and some like $2 bills, and then like a bunch of like little, you know, like the just like it, like Buffalo nickels and stuff like that.
Yeah, a Dave and Buster's card.
A Subway token from 1980.
Some Chuck E. Cheese bucks.
Yeah. Poker chips. No. Like, clearly they are like rare and valuable, but like valuable as in one of them's probably worth $6. You know, I don't think it's anything like amazing.
Well, you never know.
But I do have in my safe, I have an envelope that with my name on it, with just a jangly, loose old envelope from my Jiddu.
I also have a legal envelope that's taped shut with scotch tape that has
from your bop or from bop. Your
yeah okay. Yeah, and it's got JFK silver dollars and the Mark Twain coins and those the collectible ones. So who knows?
Yeah.
Someday I'll like get them appraised, but I think they'll just stay in the family probably.
Yeah. What is it with grandpas and loose collectible coins?
It was coins for bop and then stamps for nanny, my grandma, because she was a postmaster. Postmistress? Do they say that for women? Postmaster? I don't know. Yeah.
That's so cool. Well, maybe by our powers combined, our grandfather's disorganized coin collections combined, maybe we have, I don't know, a couple hundred bucks between us.
You know what? I'm going to throw a prediction out there, and I think I'm going to be right about this.
Okay.
When our generation, when millennials are in their, let's say, 50s, 60s, right? Antiques Roadshow is going to come back with a vengeance. We're going to be all over that shit like white on rice, and we're going to find out what all of our coins are worth.
I love it. I'm definitely down for that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I love Antiques Roadshow, man.
That's what I'm saying. Our generation is going to be like, bring it back.
Bring it back. My grandparents left me some real trash, and exactly. I need to see what it's worth.
It's going to be like JoJo Siwa hosts anti-JoJo.
JoJo Siwa hosts JoJo. You idiot. That's
and she's such like, a what is that? Idea. I've never seen one of those before. We're like, that's a Game Boy Color.
Yeah. Oh my god. Oh, it's a Nokia flip phone.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, wow. All
right, should we do an episode?
Yeah, let's do an episode. Sorry, everyone.
All right, let's see what's in store for us this week as we fire up the salad spinner to generate our genre and topic.
Let's do it.
This week we're writing a song in the style of
Bardcore. About
Bonnie?
Bonnie of
Luxembourg.
Luxembourg. Okay.
Wow. So, bardcore.
Bardcore. Yes.
As we all probably know, a bard is an old-timey song person.
An old-timey song person. Yes.
And bardcore is these, like, medieval tunes.
Sort of.
Medieval style.
Yeah, medieval style. I think someone in the produce section suggested this a while back.
I think you're right.
And I don't know if it was already on our list and it's just finally come up, or if we added it to our list.
And I think we did add it to the list because of that suggestion. So
okay.
I'm excited to explore this further.
I know, me too. Medieval inspired anything, gonna be fun.
And speaking of medieval inspired things, sort of.
Yeah. What an incredible, listen, I was on top of my spinner game today.
First
hitting the
spin.
Random article button on Wikipedia. And usually, here's the thing, usually I am lazy and I let Scott spin the spinner for Wikipedia. But today I was ready and I hit the button and this is what I got, and I'm so glad about it. So I'm just going to read the first sentence per usual, and then we will really dig into this. So Bun of Luxembourg, or Jutta of Luxembourg, was born Jutta Judith, the second daughter of John the Blind, King of Bohemia, and his first wife, Elizabeth of Bohemia.
So we got an old-timey lady.
Yes.
In Bohemia. This is going to be
old-timey royalty. Yeah, perfect for a bar. Like, so good. Thank you, salad spinner gods.
We shall tell the tale.
We shall.
Look, she died on September 11th, 1349. That was yesterday. It was September 11th.
Wow. Yes, it was.
That's
oh,
so
my
weird.
Goodness. It is very weird. A lot of confluence happening today.
Oh, what's going on, Wikipedia? Let's get medieval. This is up our alley.
Oh, for sure.
So this reminds me a little bit of when we did our Kids Bop episode, because this genre is based around existing pop songs.
Yes.
And remaking them in a new style. But this one differs because you also change the lyrics and... Yeah. It's supposed to be funny.
Yeah. The humor is in the juxtaposition, right? The humor is not, like, the lyrics are not rewritten to be funny. The humor is the juxtaposition of knowing the original lyrics, then knowing how they've been changed to be, like, all fake medieval.
Right.
Plus, you know, a song that is like a Wu-Tang Clan song with like a bunch of pan flutes and shit.
Exactly. It's all in a medieval style, right?
Yes.
Medieval music is from the 6th to 15th centuries in
a long time.
Western Europe, sacred and secular music. It is the first and longest era of Western classical music, and was followed by the Renaissance era. And typical instruments you would find would have been wooden flutes, wooden recorders, things in the ocarina family, pan flutes, like you just mentioned.
The Ocarina Family.
Yeah, that's my new sitcom. And then stringed instruments like lutes, which are like the predecessors to guitars, dulcimers, zithers, liras, which are bowed string instruments, predecessors to the modern violin, and then hurdy-gurdies, which are sort of mechanical violins that are bowed by a rosined wooden wheel attached to a crank. So you would have those instruments plus a vocal style that's very pure, no vibrato, light in its, you know, delivery, and obviously you have this flowery medieval language to go with it.
So I'm going to back up.
Back up.
And I'm going to back up only to 2020 because that's when this genre started. So this is a relatively new, nascent, baby, trendy genre. It traces back to, I think, like April of 2020 when someone did, oh no, sorry. I guess there was like as early as 2017, there was a medieval. Yeah,
don't erase.
I'm sorry. You're right.
Algol the Bard.
Algol, an artist named Algol the Bard did a cover of Toxicity by System of a Down.
So good.
It's very funny, and it's all in, it's all him playing every instrument. So it's sort of like layered on top of each other. You can look up the video on YouTube. And he has like a little hand, like a little like hide drum that he plays, mm-hmm. a flute that he, like a recorder kind of thing, a lute. There's no singing in it, however. It is just an instrumental cover.
Right.
So that happened in 2017.
And it looks like Algol the Bard does mostly like metal covers, which makes sense. Like, you know, the funny juxtaposition of System of a Down or Metallica or, you know, with medieval sound.
Yeah, even though a lot of like metal stuff, there's like a lot of fantasy and like that sort of inspiration in that world too. So I guess it's like kind of makes sense.
Sure.
So then fast forward to when it became like a trend, which is in April of 2020 during lockdown at the like very beginning of COVID, there was a German YouTuber named Cornelius Link who released Astronomia in a medieval style, which was a cover of Tony Iggy or Iggy's. I don't know how to say that.
I do not know.
Yeah, but there was an electronic dance track called Astronomia. And then a few weeks later, a Canadian YouTuber called Hildegard von Bingen, which is a play on the name of a medieval composer, Hildegard von Bingen, released a version of Pumped Up Kicks with a vocal track rewriting the lyrics to Pumped Up Kicks and using a medieval style. And then this started at least her career covering a bunch of very popular songs like Bad Romance, Jolene by Dolly Parton, etc.
Yeah, let's listen to a little bit of Pumped Up Kicks from Hildegard von Bingen and a little bit of Jolene as well. So you'll hear that the style is virtually identical between the two, and it's just the joke of changing the lyrics and making it a recognizable song. So here's those two. Oh, ye bloody rooks with the buckskin boots, best ye go, best ye go, outrun my paw. Oh, ye bloody rooks with the buckskin boots, best ye go, faster than mine arrow. Oh, ye bloody rooks with the buckskin boots, best ye go, outrun my paw. Oh, ye bloody rooks with the buckskin boots, best ye go, faster than mine arrow. It's really funny, and it's simple, it's very tongue-in-cheek, and, you know, I think it's also similar to our chap-hop genre.
Yes.
Where it's, like, taking anachronistic ideas and putting them into, you know, an old-timey sounding genre for the humor of it.
Yes, exactly. Hildegard is the only one that we can find who actually does vocal tracks with the cover. But there are other artists. Beetle the Bardcore is one. Then there's Greywick, Constantine, and Samus Ordicus.
Mm.
Who else?
Stantuff?
There you go.
So
Stantuff.
Yeah. A popular online genre.
Yes. And not like hugely widespread.
No. So I think what we're going to do is research our topic.
Yeah.
And then pick an existing pop song, popular song, redo it in a medieval style, and rewrite the lyrics to be about our topic, yeah?
Yeah, I think that that makes the most sense to get to where we want to go, because if we were trying to do this from scratch and not using an existing pop song, then like the point is kind of undermined entirely.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Like we would just be doing a medieval style song.
Right.
Period. So
yeah. Okay. Let's find out more about Bonn of Luxembourg.
Jutta. Let's just call her Jutta.
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 Here we go. Whoa.
Yeah. Whoa.
Short and busy life that Bonn of Luxembourg had.
Yeah. So let's talk about, first of all, we said that she was the second daughter of John the Blind. King of Bohemia. So when we talk about Bohemia, what we're actually talking about is like the Czech Republic, the modern day Czech Republic.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was in the Holy Roman Empire, and so whenever, you know, we say Bohemia, just think like that area of the world, not a particular country anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
And John the Blind,
yeah.
He is well known for having died while fighting in the Battle of Crecy at age 50, and he had already been blind for a decade at that point. So can you imagine in like the 1300s being blind and being a soldier?
I know. Yeah, so we're also talking about, so this woman, Bonn, or Gutta is like her like more Germanic name, was born in 1315 and died in 1349. So you can kind of get an idea of like where we're, like the time period we're talking about.
Right. She only lived 34 years.
Yeah. But a busy 34 years.
Yeah.
Mostly because of all of the many children that she had.
Well, all of the many men she was betrothed to, and then the many children she had. So let's start at the beginning, I guess, yeah?
Yeah. Let's do that.
So in June or July of 1315, she was betrothed to a guy named Casimires III. I don't know how to pronounce this.
But it's Polish.
The important part of this is you may remember that we said she was born in 1315. So about a month or two after she was born, she was already engaged.
Indeed. But that didn't stick. Apparently they had, you know, sad to see couples breaking up.
Right. Casimiros was like, she's a baby.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Yeah, but she was later, so then in 1326, at a slightly more reasonable age of 11, she was betrothed to Henry of Bar, who was the son of Edward I of Bar and Marie of Burgundy. So we're talking about like Flanders and France and like that sort of stuff.
Sure.
But then this arrangement was also broken, and she stayed at the Abbey of Saint-Esprit until her marriage to John, Duke of Normandy. So she did eventually become the first wife of King John II of France.
And this was in 1332, which means she was 17 years old, and John was 13.
Eek!
Yeah. So...
Yeah.
She started having children with John in 1338.
Yes.
And over the next 10 years, had 10 children.
Yeah.
And then she died.
Yeah.
Before he actually ever became king. So she never became queen.
Yeah. So we have Charles V, Catherine, Louis I, John, Philip II, Joan, Marie, Agnes, Margaret, and Isabel. All their kids.
That's the way they became the Brady Bunch.
We mentioned that she died at the age of 34, and she died at Maubuisson, France, of the bubonic plague.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
when we were reading through this earlier, Shannon made a flippant joke because it talks about how there were 6,000 guests at their wedding. And Shannon said, "Whoa, that's a plague super spreader event." And she did die of the plague.
She did indeed die of the plague. Oops, I'm very sorry. Yeah, and it actually does say that John II, who was also called John the Good, he was king of France from 1350 to 1364. And when he came to power, France was facing like the Black Death, the plague.
Yeah.
Which killed nearly half the population of the country.
Wow.
Wow, wow, wow.
That's just unfathomable.
Is unfathomable. Nuts. Even living through...
a plague.
No, a plague. It is unfathomable, like a 50% decline in population, not 50% mortality rate, because it was actually probably a higher mortality rate, just those right. people didn't catch it, but like 50% of the population gone in Western Europe.
Oof.
Oof.
Hey, so her name translates to good, right?
Yes.
Her name is Good, and she was married to a guy named John the Good, right? So if she took his name, would she be good to good?
Well, here's what I wonder. How much of that was associative? Like, it was like, oh, she's... So her name was like Jutta or Guta in the like Czech German, which translates as good. And so then when she became betrothed to the King of France, it was translated to Bun, which is good in France.
Yeah.
It's the feminine form of good. Right. So, like, that's why. So then I just wonder if it was like, well, his wife is good. So, like, I guess we'll just call him good. I don't know.
Good family.
Yeah. What a good family.
So that's probably all that we have about her on Wikipedia.
Yeah. She also was a patron of the arts. That's kind of good. She had a composer and poet who was like her favorite that she was like a particular patron of. Mm-hmm. Guillaume de Machaut, yeah.
And he was a medieval composer in the Ars Nova style. So.
Cool.
So how do we preserve Bun's memory and legacy and tell her story through a medieval style pop song? And which pop song should we reference here?
Yeah. Is there a song that you can think of that is about like marrying young or dying young?
Question.
I mean, there's probably, you know, there's that song that's like, if I die young, bury me in satin, lay me down on my bed of roses.
Yeah, there's
you know
that song? There's that.
Yeah.
There's also, I was thinking that, like, I think I want to marry you.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice if we were older, then we wouldn't have to wait so long? The Beach Boys song.
Beach Boys. That one's good.
Okay, uh-huh. Okay.
I'm going to do a little Google.
Only the Good Die Young. That's a song.
That's the other one I was just thinking of.
Yeah.
Songs for high school sweethearts.
Oh, boy. How about middle school sweethearts, considering that her husband was 13? I Googled songs about dying young.
Uh-huh.
And Leader of the Pack by the Shangri-Las came up.
Uh-huh. What about Forever Young?
Ooh.
There's a song by Trisha Yearwood called She's in Love with the Boy. That's a little bit on the nose.
Oh, boy, yeah.
I think it needs to be more recognizable, right? The more recognizable,
I agree.
The better.
Yeah, the more it feels like it is in the pop consciousness, the better, I think. But I'm trying to think of, like, what else... songs about being married against your will. Let's see if any of that comes up.
See, I Googled songs about young love. So what about Teenage Dream?
Oh, yes.
Katy Perry?
Yeah. Hold on. Let me look at the lyrics.
And the other one I was thinking of was Call Me Maybe.
Oh, my God.
Just because I love it.
Okay, I'm loving Teenage Dream.
Yeah, I'm looking up the lyrics, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, we can dance until we die. You and I will be young forever.
Yeah. I think that's better than If I Die Young, by the band Perry, what it's called. The chorus is, If I Die Young, bury me in satin, lay me down in a bed of roses, sink me in the river at dawn, send me away with the words of a love song. The lyrics are too close to a medieval song anyway. It's too sad. I think it needs to be like a happy, poppy, upbeat thing.
Right.
I think Teenage Dream is good. I think Wouldn't It Be Nice.
Oh, yeah. Let's look up those lyrics. I kind of like this better because we know that Teenage Dream is like a crush, happy love song. But Wouldn't It Be Nice like could apply to people that are being forced into a marriage against their will. Like, wouldn't it be nice if we weren't being forced to marry each other so young?
Yeah. Well, and also, this is a little creepy, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Say it, baby.
Maybe I'll cut it out. But I was roll creeped out when I saw how many kids they had, when I saw that they got married when they were 17 and 13.
Yeah.
But then I realized they didn't actually have kids for like 6 or 7 years until after they were married.
Right.
And so probably it was like a matter of course to be like, oh, these people are very young.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be married to each other, but they're probably not really a couple really till they get older.
They didn't start having kids until she was 24 and he was 20, which isn't that crazy even by today's standards, I guess. I don't know. It depends on
where you live.
But
it's still a little weird. But like if you have a kid every year for 10 years and before that you have no kids but you've been married for 6 years, to me that says you did not start having sex until you started having kids.
Right.
So that's what that all says to me. So anyway, my point is I don't think they could really act like a couple in even, you know, in the like biblical sense. Until they got older. And so the idea behind Wouldn't It Be Nice is like, oh, great. If we were older, we could just be together.
Yeah. And wouldn't it be nice to live together in the kind of world where we belong? Like a world where it makes sense that we're actually a couple.
We always look at these things with a modern lens because how could we not? We can't help it. But like, we just have to remember that like marriage didn't mean what marriage means today. Like,
Right.
You didn't get married because you were in love with somebody. You got married because you were trying to form a political alliance and not get your people killed.
Hence the engagement at birth.
Yes, indeed.
All right. Well, let's do Wouldn't It Be Nice? Beach Boys.
Yeah. Okay. This will be fun. So you'll just like reorchestrate it basically, right?
Yeah. I'm going to like get the chord structure and the melody for it and redo it with medieval instruments. And also I'm going to take the swing out of it, I think. Cause you know, the original is like, which that swing did not exist in medieval times. So I'm going to straighten it out to like, wouldn't it be nice if we were older? Right. And like start with that as my baseline. And then we'll use whatever lyrics you use. Yeah.
Yes. Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. Great. I'm just going to do a straight, like Mad Lib style, like lift and replace kind of, and just try to make it tweak it so that it references more of their story.
Yeah. The other thing that I'm going to do is make it so it's not so major, because all of these songs were usually modal, not necessarily minor, but like in a different scale form that wasn't like the typical major and minor that we hear today. And that's why they always sound a little bit like pensive and dark, you know?
Oh, yeah, sure. So, okay.
Let's do it.
How many Hey Nani Nanis do you think we should put in?
That's up to you, Shannon.
Okay. I haven't had a Hey Nani in a long time, so.
Have a Hey Nani on me.
Thanks.
Let's do it.
Okay. This was harder than I thought.
Just channeling your inner old-timiness?
Yeah. I Googled verbs, how to make verbs medieval. it's hard because, and I'm sure I did not get it right, but conjugations of verbs in early modern English would be, so to take like an example verb, like do, okay? So it would be I, we, ye, and they do.
Yep.
Thou, which is the informal you, or no, the formal you, thou dost. He, she, it doth.
Yep.
I, she, hit, we, ye, and they did, and thou didst.
Didst. Yes, yes.
Yeah. When I looked at all the verbs that I had, and then, but then there was also periods of time where like eth was like added to things. So like we eateth.
Oh, right.
Classic. Yeah. So like, yeah. So things like that. So I'm sure I did not get it right, but I wanted it to have that feeling that Hildegard von Bingen has.
Right.
Where it's like all written to feel like it is of that era, even if it like isn't entirely accurate.
I'm just imagining like, wouldn't it be nice?
you nailed it. Perfect. Wouldst it not be nice is the actually it's well, you'll see in a second.
Okay.
So there's that, and that made it hard.
Yep.
And then the other part of it was I did want it to sort of be from her, like from her perspective, from Bunn's or Goethe's perspective, and just like saying like, wouldn't it be nice if we were older? But then I kind of had this like sort of morbid idea of like, well, wouldn't it be great if we were older just so we wouldn't have to die young?
Right. Which,
so wouldn't it be great
if we lived
people.
In a future without the bubonic plague?
Yeah, basically. So I'm just going to read it and you can react how you will, okay?
I will.
All right, here we go. Wouldst it not be glad if we weren't older? Then we wouldst not needeth die so young. Mm. And wouldst it not be right to share a chamber when thou art benighted at Notre Dame?
Ooh, that's great.
Yeah. Thou knowest certain that twill'st be much better to ne'er bid fare thee well to one another.
Wow.
And then the second little verse into the bridgey part. Wouldst it not be grand if we couldst arise airy morn and not be feared of death? And after passing hours spent a feasting, hold one another close whilst we sleepeth. Meet and merry times we have been spending. Binst is definitely not right, but it's funny. We have been spending. I wish thine kisses sweet twern't never ending. Oh, wouldst it not be glad?
Shannon, I have to say.
Yeah.
You're back on your bullshit.
Yeah.
In the best way. In the best possible way.
Wouldst it not be glad?
Wouldst.
Yeah, I had, did I keep it in there? Yeah, I was like thinking about in church whenever they talk about how it, tis meet and right to praise the Lord.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So that's where the meet and marry came from.
Right,
like
right, right.
Meet is like proper, appropriate, like the right thing. So tis meet and marry. yeah, I mean, I know that half of it is wrong and like I didn't. Do the right thing, but it's just funny. So,
meet and merry times we have beans to spend. Can't wait to sing that.
Me too.
I also like twilst.
Twilst, yeah. Yes,
thou knowest certain that twilst be much better.
yeah,
it's perfect.
Thank you. Tell me about your medieval and modal interpretation.
Well, I was going to say it was also harder than I expected it to be, just like getting it out of a realm where it felt like modern harmony and the actual true song, but still making it recognizable as the song, you know?
Yeah.
So the instruments that I used were a lute as like the main guitar sounding kind of driving force of the song, along with an old like European frame drum, you know, those like drums that you hold in one hand and you like hit it with your other hand or a stick that's just like a circle. And a little like tambourine kind of a instrument as percussion. So here's the lute and the percussion.
Nice.
And then I also used a fiddle sound, like an old like violin sound, as a hurdy-gurdy, so sort of like drone of like lower tones, which if you think of like a bagpipe, it's a similar concept, but just strings. So you have this like constant drone of a certain tone in the strings that's always happening, even if you play other notes above it, just like a bagpipe would. So that's like the hurdy-gurdy sound here.
Cool.
And then doubling the melody, because I was listening to the other like Hildegard von Bingen songs, and she often doubled the melody along with other instruments. So I have the melody being played by a wooden medieval recorder and a Celtic harp. So here's the recorder and the harp.
Like, you're getting it. Like, I think the sound is there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's there. It's definitely more minor. It's definitely sadder sounding than the original. But in keeping it, you know, modal and medieval, you know, you never really have those, like, leading tones in the harmonies, the way that we talked about with the Schubert last week, where it's like a lot of tension and then release in like the 5-1 chords. That kind of thing didn't exist in medieval times, so nothing ever feels like completely satisfying. <you
know? laughs> Wow, what a metaphor.
Well, I mean, it works with the metaphor of the lyrics too, I guess. Like, nothing in this life is satisfying because we're living in the 1300s.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
I think we know our title, which is Wouldst It Not Be Glad?
Oh, definitely. Wouldst It Not Be Glad? Yes.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
Awesome. Here is Wouldst It Not Be Glad?
A bardcore song
about Bun of Luxembourg.
Cinnamon Bun of Luxembourg. Who was a almost Queen of France, who had a lot of kids.
By Shannon and Scott.
Wouldst it not be glad if we were older? Then we wouldst not need if die so young. And wouldst it not be right to share a chamber when thou art benighted at Notre Dame? Thou knowest certain that twill'st be much better to ne'er bid fare thee well to one another. Wouldst it not be grand if we couldst arise every morn and not be feared of death, and after passing hours spent a feasting, hold one another close whilst we sleepeth? Meet and merry times we have needs spending. I wish thine kisses sweet weren't never ending. Oh, wouldst it not be glad?
Fantastic.
Yeah, this made me really happy. Feels very much in our wheelhouse, and And what a lovely confluence of genre and topic this week.
Yes. Paying homage to the Beach Boys, or as they were known in medieval times, the Sandy Lads.
Okay, so obviously that is our name of our band this week.
The Sandy Lads.
The Sandy Lads. What's It Not Be Nice by the Sandy Lads? Perfect.
Really, really fun. I had a good
time. Yeah, I did too. If you had a good time, you can find all of our episodes on SoundCloud, on Spotify, on iTunes, on Google Play, on Stitcher, on Podberry or whatever. We're everywhere. Podbean?
Blueberry.
Maybe it was Blueberry and Podbean. Yeah, that's probably it. We're everywhere. Please go check out our back catalog. You can also find our individual songs at bandcamp.com/songsalad.
Other way around. Wait.
Songsalad.com/bandcamp?
Songsalad.bandcamp.com.
Songsalad.com. will you say the right one more time, Scott?
Let me just make sure I'm right. Yeah, songsalad.bandcamp.com.
Great. Then you can hear all of our bullshit in one place.
Yes. Thank you to our Patreon donors. Next week, we will be back with a Salad Bowl episode for you. And if you want to be able to suggest genres and topics, you can join us on Patreon.
Yes. Find us on Twitter at SongSaladCast. And you can always send us an email about, you know, n'importe quoi at songsaladpodcast@gmail.com.
Until next time.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And this has been Song Salad.
Bon appetit.
A bun or Goethe podcast.
1, 2, 3, 4. Thank you.